See, most people stood up. I was going to request or suggest that everybody stretch for a few moments, but I see now everybody seems to be alert. I too feel inadequate to eulogize my Rosh Hashiva, listen to his pinkles that sound. Now I can sit here and tell you personal stories, that's not what Nelson Sphere would tell me to do. You're all probably asking yourselves, look at what he did. He was the great nephew of the Rosh Hashiva when he came. He got him the best of Russes. Yeah, you know, big deal. One person, you know, came from Ida Crown, came from Arnold Hutt's background, became what you read about, the Golo Hador, that to a certain degree nobody fully grasped while he was alive, that he was mamish. I once heard Rav Moshe Shapiro Shlita once said, so what they said, that Rav Nosson Tzvi is holding up half of the entire world with his Torah. I'm sure you're all asking yourselves, that was Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. He was miyuchad, he was different. You can't tell me that he was modern Orthodox, he went to Ida Crown, but I'll come up with a million students. And you hear the amount of Torah that he learned, even though it was hard for him. The amount of success in spreading Torah and thousands of Talmudim, buildings upon buildings of Torah. And you say, nothing to do with me. So one boy asked last week, what was it? What happened? What do you think happened? Came at 17 years old from Bir Yeshiva, developed a shaitas in the Ben Bais Rebbe Lezvigel, he was close to the Chaim Shulevitz. There are plenty of people that have shaitas to Gedolim, but they don't turn to the Nelson Tzvi Finkel. I think I may not now have the answer when you see the big picture. The one common denominator that's been spoken about in every story that you hear, whether it's about his smother in Torah, his avas Torah, his avas Yisrael, his chesed, is one thing. And it's the midah, it's Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, is the midah that's kol everything. That's the lev tov at the big heart. But we're analyzing the lev tov at the end of his life, when he was a Nosson Tzvi Hagon Hagodol, the Nosson Tzvi Finkel. But I believe that when he was 17 years old, he had experiences similar to your experiences. He heard a shmooze, he read a sefer, and he said, wow, you mean I was created here to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and if I learn Torah and I do mitzvos, I'll feel amazing, and I'll feel fulfilled, and my life will be worthwhile. After 120, I'm going to go to Shemayim, and they're going to throw me a big party because I was successful and I achieved perfection. He read and heard the same things that you're hearing now. But you know what? He had a lev tov, a good heart, an open heart. I'm sure there's everybody in this room, whether you're Shana Aleph or Shana Bet, you've had moments or conversations with your Rabbeim where your Rabbeim say, you know what? There's a lot more to life than your BlackBerry and the NFL or whatever else you're doing on the BlackBerry. I'm sure you felt that. But a moment later you're like, nah, whatever. I can't do it. I can't jump in. And you hear about his smother. I believe that they say that Blazer Yudel, his great uncle, got him the best of Russes. He could have taken breaks during those Kavruses. He had to take them seriously. But the Chosin Yeshua writes that if a person becomes a masmid for a short amount of time, if he pushes himself for a short amount of time, it's going to be very, very hard. The first couple of weeks. Very, very hard. But if you push yourself for weeks and months, all of a sudden, it's complete bliss. But the problem is, you have to push hard for a few weeks, maybe 2 months. That much. That's what the Chosin Yeshua writes. That much. And 99.9% of the people that sit in the yeshiva, whether in Torah Shrag or any other yeshiva, they have that experience. And they say, you know what? After 2 days of trying, or 2 minutes of trying, they say, I can't do it. But Rav Nachum Finkelstein, he did it. And you see the end result. It reminds me of one of the times I was sitting at his table, learning with a group of people in his living room, which, all these stories, he would never turn down a chavrusa. It's all true. I can attest to every single thing. That he was shaking, that he couldn't learn, that he would lie down on his couch and learn. It's all true. It's not a baba maisa. And yes, he came from Chicago, and you came from wherever you came. And I think he explained how he lives his life. Because we sat there and we waited to learn, start learning. And he was involved in something more administrative. And we waited a few minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I don't remember exactly how long. And he sat down, he opened up his Gemara, and he said a phrase that I'll never forget. And he said, business before pleasure. Because he looked at learning Torah as pleasure. And you say it every Shabbos and Tehillim, it's Mesukim Mitvash, it's sweet as honey. But all you say, hey, I've been here for 4 months, it's not pleasurable, I don't enjoy it. So one answer I can give you is a famous answer that I've heard. Is how can you enjoy strawberry shortcake when you're still chewing spearmint gum? It's impossible. If you're still chewing a spearmint, you can't taste the sweetness of Torah. You have to disconnect. And you see what happens. A Gadol B'Yisrael, Mamish, Shuduk Mashmo, from Chicago. His own Torah, the Torah of thousands, the greatest disseminator of Torah that this generation has seen, as our witnessing put it so beautifully, the morning of the Hasbeit. You looked at the Golem of yesteryear, you said, wow, Baron Cutler, Yaakov Kamenetsky, Moshe Feinstein, Yaakov Ruderman, they built Torah in America. Who could ever top them? Who would have ever thought that a Nelson C. Finkel at 46 or 48, whatever the age was, would take over a yeshiva of 800 people, one building, and it would grow into an empire of Torah. An empire of Torah. Why? Because he saw the pleasure of Torah. Why? Because he had a Lev Tov. And I believe the message that the Rosh Hashiva would want me to convey to you is that each and every one of you can do it. All you have to do is open your heart. Wake up. Okay? As I saw this morning, last night, they asked the Gedolei Yisrael, what should we do now? The greatest tzaddik, the greatest motion efforts for our generation, motion efforts for Torah, just passed away. What should we do? So Nissen Korelet said, Sarav Litvos, Masha Efsher, grab whatever you can. Change whatever aspect of your life that you can. Why? Ma'afash ain't other than Yodei Ito. Person never knows his time. You never know. I walked into the parking lot last Tuesday morning. A neighbor of mine said, did you hear? I heard a rumor. I said, no, it can't be true. I just got in the car, dropped my kids to Cheder. My son said, no, I would not say it. I would. I couldn't believe it. He was so alive. I just saw him in Yom Kippur. I saw him in Sukkot. To hear him say Baruch Hu Hashem Avivorach, whenever he got in the Aliyah in Yeshiva, it sent chills down my spine. To hear him with his serious nefesh, and it was loud. You could hear it, and it was just, I can't even begin to describe it to you what it was like to hear him say Baruch Hu Hashem Avivorach. There was an image in my mind that I had during the Aliyah. People will tell you that he wasn't the greatest Eli coming to the yeshiva, he wasn't. But his great uncle was a Yidu, saw something special about him. I got him the best of Bruce's. And he handpicked him to marry his granddaughter. And at 46, 48 years old, 2 weeks before his father-in-law, the Danish Nitzal, passed away, he told him, you're going to be taking over the yeshiva soon. And he gave him a list of the people that are paid from the kollel, how much this person gets, and it's going to become his responsibility. And then you see what he did over the next 20 years of his life in the yeshiva. Every shir that opened up, every program in the yeshiva, every siyum, he was behind everything, everything, besides his health challenges. And you can focus on that. A lot of people are focusing on the idea, if somebody so unhealthy, somebody who's in so much pain, could accomplish so much, how could a person as well not do anything? But I want to focus on something else. And I believe this could take you all very, very far. There was an image that I drew up in my mind during the Levaya of Reb Nosson Tzvi coming to Shemayim after 68 years, 69 years, Chuluk Yedeos, and being greeted by the Baruch Hashem with his truckload of skusim, his own learning, his own amelos, his own from Tzer Agra, the harder it is, the more star you get. He must have had truckloads of mitzvos. And Rabbeinu came over and said, "Wow, look what you did to the yeshiva." And Rabbeinu just said, "Look what you did to this yeshiva." And in Shemayim, they're like, "Mamish." It's hard to imagine Gedolim who come with more skusim. It's just hard. It's almost incomprehensible. Can you imagine what it was like at Shemayim after 120? So we could all say, that's because, you know, the opportunity was there for him. Yeah, that's Barusa. That's true. But you know what? Every single one of us, every single one of you, can go to Shemayim after 120 with the same confidence and being the same obstacle with the Baruch Shalom, with your solution, you can. Because you're not, Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkelzatzal. You are who you are. And all that Reb Baruch Shalom wants is you to fulfill your tafkid, achieve your shlemus. You don't have to fulfill his shlemus. You know what? Almost everybody in this room cannot reach that point. You're not expected to. But you are expected to be the best that you can be. And you have the chavrusa that you are supposed to have. And you're in the yeshiva that you're supposed to have. And you come from the hometown that you come from. And you have the parents that you come from. You have the challenges that you have. And all you have to do is take the following motto that I heard from the yeshiva's mouth. The yeshiva said in the shmuz, one of those Friday shmuz, just to give you a glimpse. I remember those Friday shmuz that I used, you know, we'd have a mincha, grab a little lunch in the dining room, ran to the yeshiva's house, spoke for 20 minutes, whatever it was. You walked out of there like, I can't even describe it. It was like to walk out of that after that shmuz. And it was hard for him to give over the Divrei Torah, but it was just something about it. It was that love that you got touched with. He once said in one of those shmuz that he was visiting with a philanthropist who gave money to the yeshiva. And so he said, "No. He gave us a declaration. We want to put up a plaque. We want to name a building after you. We want to do something for you." And the philanthropist said, "I don't want any recognition. The only thing I want, my whole purpose in life, is to put a smile on their Baruch Shalom's face. I want to put a smile on Hashem's face." And I believe when the Rosh Hashanah gave us over that motto, putting a smile on Hashem's face, because that's how he lived. I'm sure he had challenges when he was 17, 18, 19. I'm sure he had distractions, but he fought through it. And he became who he became. And you see what happens after his life. There is no reason why we cannot, each and every one of us, can't live our lives with that same motto. All I want to do today, this minute, is put a smile on Hashem's face. When you go down to the dining room, and you go to eat, you want to say a bracha, say it properly, because you want to put a smile on Hashem's face. When you play ball, play like a mensch. When it comes to 40, and you want to, and it's time to go to mincha, you want to put a smile on Hashem's face. Come to mincha. After mincha, you want to put a smile on Hashem's face. You sit down and Allah to say it. In the base medrash, there are people here that apparently are putting in a lot of hours in the base medrash at night. But the question is, why are you in the base medrash? Is what you're doing in the base medrash putting a smile on Hashem's face? Personal question. You don't have to answer us. Just answer upstairs. You should take upon yourself, and I think that message is something that you should give us on that Friday, and I want to give it over to you. Ask yourselves. Ideally, you should ask yourself this question every moment of the day. But at least, ask yourself once a day, before you go to sleep, when you wake up, my motto today, my goal today, and every day of my life, It's to put a smile on Hashem's face. That means I should learn well today. I should do chesed today. I shouldn't insult anybody. I shouldn't speak lashon hara. I shouldn't curse. I shouldn't do anything wrong. It doesn't mean you can't become a professional. It does not mean that at all. It doesn't mean you need to learn 24 hours a day. No. Every situation is unique. Every person's life is unique. But if you take that lesson as a Rosh Hashiva, the whole purpose of our lives is to put a smile on Hashem's face. After 120, Mir Hashem, we able to stand there before our Baruch Hu and say, we're just like the Nosim Tzitzit Tzatzal. We fulfilled our Shem, we should be Zofek to watch the Yat and Shemayim, everything we do. And the lessons of this Godel, who on the one hand was this massive Godel, but on the other hand, he was so accessible, so real, so alive, because so many people had personal relationships with him. It's all true, and you too, to be like Nosim Tzitzit Tzatzal.